Napa know-how.
Hey, I'm Chase Elliott, driver of the number 9 Napa Chevy. Here to tell you that when you spend $25 at Napa this month, you'll get a free number 9 Napa racing cap. So whether you're a fan of drivers with fast cars or just a fan of keeping the sun out of your eyes, you'll get a free number 9 racing cap just for spending $25 at Napa. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Offer expires 3/31/18.
My neighbors always ask me, hey Pete, how do you keep your yard so nice?
Pete makes it simple with a Scotts Turf Builder feeding program. It's the best way to get the yard you want all year long, guaranteed. All it takes is 4 easy feedings. Just once in early spring, late spring, summer, and fall. Providing nutrition and weed control to keep your lawn lush and green.
So, now you know my secret.
This is a Scotts Yard. Pick up a Scotts Turf Builder program today.
The final lap with Carrie Murphy is on.
We begin with breaking news, and it turns out NASCAR didn't like the way the rear window of the number 4 car of Kevin Harvick's was flexing during the race last week. He loses the benefits of the win, no playoff points for this race. His crew chief has been suspended 2 races. He loses $50,000, 20 driver points, and 20 owner's points. The team, of course, can appeal. So Danica Patrick's double duty farewell tour is officially set. Of course, as you know, she already ran the Goodbye Daytona 500, where she ended up wrecking. Now her Indianapolis 500 ride has been announced. She will drive the number 13 GoDaddy IndyCar for Ed Carpenter Racing. The 102nd Indianapolis 500 goes down on May 27th, and word is, she wants to win the thing. Jeff Gordon has joined the list of potential Hall of Fame nominees for the class of 2019, which means he is now eligible to get voted in next year. Now, logic says his 4 championships and 93 Cup Series victories say he's a lock, but, you know, stranger things have happened. Alex Bowman on Las Vegas getting that second race date later this year.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we definitely, it's definitely more important of a race than it was. So we'll just have to keep our notebooks open. Obviously, a lot changes between now and the fall. Everybody's cars develop further and people figure new stuff out. But, you know, it's definitely, we gotta pay a little more attention than we normally would to this racetrack.
The final lap.
When you're hiring, you don't want to sort through dozens of irrelevant resumes. You want a short list of qualified candidates. That's why you need Indeed.com. Diana's hired with Indeed.
It just gives me so many more qualified applicants to choose from.
Post a job in minutes, set up screener questions, then zero in on qualified candidates using an intuitive online dashboard. Discover why 3 million businesses use Indeed for hiring. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. Search for greatness. Search Indeed.
At CVS Pharmacy at Target, we put a little extra heart into everything we do, like actively looking to save you money. Generics, 90-day refills, even rewards. Get a $5 Target coupon for every 10 prescriptions. On your next Target run, stop by CVS Pharmacy. We're the place with the big heart. Not valid on all prescriptions, including those purchased in Arkansas, New Jersey, or New York. Other restrictions apply. See cvs.com/extracare-target or the pharmacy for details. CVS Pharmacy at Target. Health is everything.
6:06, welcome back in the third and final hour. The Todd Bromelkamp Show coming your way on a Thursday night. Alex Kuhn along for the ride, as is Kyle. And coming up in about, let's call it 10 minutes, we'll step aside on our FM frequencies. That would be 106.3 in Iowa City and 107.5 here in Cedar Rapids. That's because high school basketball is taking over the airwaves on those two frequencies. Iowa City West will be taking on Waukee at Wells Fargo Arena, the Class 4A semifinals. Winner gets a trip to the state title game. It's either going to be West Des Moines Valley or Cedar Falls on the other end of the bracket, and we'll see how things play out. That game, by the way, would be tomorrow at about 8 o'clock, right? The last game at the state tournament.
Yes, I think just after 8.
So Scott Unash is going to be back in his own bed come Saturday, one way or the other. He has one less game to call. That's because Xavier fell to Glenwood earlier today in Class 3A play. But North Lynn, very much alive and well. They'll be playing for a state title tomorrow at 2 o'clock. So you'll hear that game at about 1:45-ish on our FM frequencies. Plenty more to get to, including a chat with former Iowa State wide receiver Alan Lazard coming up at the bottom of the hour. But first, It is Thursday, and that means it is time for Would You?
It's now time for everyone's favorite weekly segment.
Would you rather know when you're going to die, or would you rather know how you're going to die?
But why would you even say that? For shock value?
Can you give yourself a ding?
It's as simple as a yes or no.
Of course you would. Who wouldn't?
Would you?
Well, I'm going to start with our poll question today at KGYMRadio.com. Again, a tip of the cap to Emil's Hideaway for sponsoring that every day. Alex, which team, Iowa or Iowa State, would you say is best positioned to have a more successful 2018 bounce back year? We both know Iowa State and Iowa can't be as bad next year as they were this year, so they're both going to be better. But which one would you say is in better shape? Or will be in better shape, I should say.
I will say that I have a lot fewer question marks about Iowa State than I do the Iowa Hawkeyes. And I think first and foremost, Iowa State was inconsistent defensively. Iowa was nationally bad defensively. And that has to change if they want to make a lot of headway moving forward. I know that that this is a team with a lot of potential on the offensive end of the basketball, but they're never going to be the early 90s UNLV teams. They're never going to be Duke. They're never going to be one of these elite-level offensive teams to the point where they can just afford to go out, throw the basketball out there, run by people, and outscore them by scoring 90 a night. That's just not the way that they're going to win. It's not a good recipe for winning in the Big Ten. They have to play defense. And giving up nearly 80 points per game is not going to be good enough. They're going to have to improve that by probably 7 to 8 points per game, which is not an easy task. And I just wonder, who do they have on the wing? I think Joe Wieskamp can be a great player, but to rely on him to be the guy his freshman season, I think is asking a lot for any freshman at this level of college basketball. So I look at Iowa State. They're going to be another year seasoned. They have two legitimate NBA prospects in Cameron Lard and Lindell Wigginton. They add a transfer from Virginia on the wing. Nick Weiler-Babb is coming back. Solomon Young is an ultimate glue player, and they're going to have more bodies than they had this past year. And I think that's going to make a difference. More depth, more bodies. Everybody returning other than Donovan Jackson, that's the only question mark I have. Who takes over his leadership role? Because he infused a lot of leadership into that team and made big shots during the course of his career. But you ask me question marks, who's in better position? I think there are a lot fewer with Iowa State than there are with Iowa.
Yeah. I spent a lot of time talking about this with Mark Dukes on the gym class earlier today, and quite frankly, I can't even try to add to anything that Alex just said, and that's pretty much what we spent most of the hour talking about. You look at Iowa, and you know, you don't even necessarily know what you're going to get. You know, there's a lot of question marks around Tyler Cook. I think there's still some question marks about who's going to be running the point guard and if they're going to be able to cut down on the turnovers that they had such trouble with this year. And then I think the biggest problem is, you know, obviously the defense. And I don't know where the defense is going to come from. I don't necessarily know why or how it's going to be better next year than it was this year. They are bringing in Wieskamp, but that's just more offense. They're bringing in Frederick. That's just more offense. I don't know where the defense comes from. Meanwhile, Iowa State, like Alex just said, has Lindell Wigginton and Cameron Lard. Both of those guys are legitimate, you know, NBA prospects. They're probably going to be dipping their toes in the water after next season. So those two guys alone, I think they've got – Iowa State has more – you know, they're more top-heavy. And I love Nick Weiler-Babb running the point guard for them. And they're going to be bringing in – what's his name? Talon Horton-Tucker. Who knows how good he's going to be, but that's just going to be another, you know, really good talent on that team. And, you know, Iowa might have more depth, but I just – I'm not convinced that Iowa's going to be able to bounce back in a big way – in the same way that I am with Iowa State. Lindell Wigginton, he's going to be able to get to the rim pretty much whenever he wants. He can score. That's the kind of guy who can just will you to some wins. And I think Iowa State is got to be feeling pretty good going into next season.
One question down, several to go. Number two, Kyle, let's keep it with college basketball. Would you say you'd like to see Oklahoma in the NCAA tournament? This is actually, would you like to see Trae Young in the NCAA tournament? And then will you see him in the tournament?
Yeah.
But the segment's not called Will You.
Right. Of course I would. You know, Oklahoma, I've spent a lot of time talking about Oklahoma with some of my friends. The rest of that team is just so barren. They don't have anything outside of Trae Young. But this is the NCAA tournament. This is March Madness. You want your Jimmer Fredettes in that tournament. You want your Steph Currys in that tournament. Trae Young has to be there. And, you know, they had a pretty awful second half of the season. So I get why some people don't necessarily think that they should be in it. You know, they've played themselves down back into the bubble. But they've shown flashes of being good enough that they're, you know, at times Trae Young alone makes that team worthy of an invite. And, you know, if attention is what you want, the March Madness isn't desperate for attention. It gets it anyway. But Trae Young is the biggest name in college basketball this season. You've got to have him in there.
I'd love to have him in there, but I don't want to play politics here. I don't want to say just because he's on that team, we have to force him into the NCAA tournament, because quite frankly, I'm not sure that Oklahoma deserves to be in. If it comes down to Oklahoma and St. Mary's out of the West Coast Conference, who lost their semifinal matchup to BYU, I'm taking St. Mary's every time. If it comes down to Oklahoma and Oklahoma State, Oklahoma State beat Oklahoma 2 of 3 times. They nearly went to Norman and beat them, I think lost by 2. Oklahoma did a very good job, was playing their best basketball early on, and Trae Young was outstanding, and he's been good all season. I think he's hit a little bit of a wall, and like Kyle said, there's not much around him. But the way that they've played these past 3 weeks, I think, has put them squarely on the bubble. And if there are teams out there with better resumes, and you look at the bottom of the Big 12 other than Iowa State, there are several teams with resumes that are very difficult to decipher. And you ask yourself, how are these teams playing down the stretch? And the answer to that is Oklahoma right now, eyeball test, does not look like an NCAA tournament team. So would I like to see him? Yes. But I'll throw a caveat in there. If that means that Oklahoma State is out, no, I would not. I think Oklahoma State is an NCAA tournament team ahead of Oklahoma. I think St. Mary's is as well. And even I throw Texas and Baylor in there as well.
I think Alex Halstead hit the nail on the head. I think Oklahoma gets in and gets sent to Dayton so that they juice the TV viewers on Tuesday or Wednesday.
If they get in, they're, I think, almost assuredly going to Dayton.
I think they put them in the I'm saying this right now. A conspiracy theory is afoot. Oklahoma will be in Dayton, and it is solely based on the fact that they have Trae Young, and it's based solely on trying to get people to watch that game. Hot take. Alex, would you like to see hockey at Iowa?
Once again, would I like to see it? Yeah, I would. I would probably be a season ticket holder. And I enjoy college hockey. And some of the better players in the NHL went that route. You see the teams in the Big Ten that have historically good hockey programs. Now, on that same note, that's the reason why Iowa should not have hockey. I'd like to see it, but I don't think it's practical. I don't think that there's enough of a grassroots program here in Iowa. I don't think that enough people are interested in it to kind of sustain itself as a program, especially how much money it costs to maintain a program. And I don't know if they would ever be able to compete in a conference like the Big Ten, coming up from when you're playing schools that are in pretty high-level hockey states like Minnesota. And so for those reasons, I don't think it's practical, but sure, I'd like to see it.
I'll say it like this. I wouldn't actively be against hockey at Iowa. You know, if surely there are people who would want to play. Surely there are some people who would want to go watch. But with that said, and I think I'm probably a good example of why it's probably a terrible idea. I don't really care. You know, there's not that big of a hockey fan base here in Iowa. I'm very indifferent in that regard. I just, you know, would I like to see it just so that the people who would be interested? Sure. But me personally, I don't give a hoot.
Alex, we talked a lot about the Combine. We're going to be chatting with Alan Lazard coming up in just a few minutes. If you were the Cleveland Browns, would you take Saquon Barkley with the number one overall pick? He is the odds-on favorite, according to oddsmakers, to be the number one pick after the Combine.
No, I wouldn't. I think Saquon Barkley is a great talent. But I still think that, especially in this draft, and really in any draft, there are some other prospects out there where you can get a guy in the fourth or fifth round who may not be Saquon Barkley, but is close enough that you're going to wait four or five rounds to take that running back instead of passing on another quarterback like the Cleveland Browns have done the past couple years to their detriment. You pass on Carson Wentz. You pass on Deshaun Watson. You pass on Mitch Trubisky, and you still don't have a quarterback to lead that team. I think running backs are a dime a dozen. Now, running backs like Saquon Barkley are not a dime a dozen, but what is happening with Le'Veon Bell still tells me that unless you have the perfect system, like seeing Ezekiel Elliott go to the Cowboys behind a Pro Bowl offensive line, or the same thing can be said about some other running back prospects that were drafted as high as they were, I still think the running back is an undervalued position in the NFL. Leonard Fournette goes to the Jaguars last year, and they went 3-0 without Leonard Fournette. Todd Gurley a couple years ago had a really big-time sophomore slump, and I don't want to put that on him because I think he was fine. His offensive line was terrible. And until they got a good unit in front of him, he wasn't effective. And until they got a passing game around him, he wasn't effective. So I still think that it's when you're drafting that high, especially number one overall, you have to address a need at quarterback that the Browns have not addressed yet.
We've done this, I believe we've done this once before already, and I'm the same way that I was a couple weeks ago. I think I've even dug my heels in a little bit because the Browns are in a special position. They've got the first overall pick, and shortly after, they've got the fourth overall pick. They definitely need a quarterback, and they've messed up getting a quarterback several times in recent history and not so recent history. But you look at Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen, Baker Mayfield, Josh Allen. They're all good prospects, but they all also have distinct weaknesses or things that people are questioning about them. And so it's not like you've got the Andrew Luck quarterback prospect in this draft. Meanwhile, you do have a guy in Saquon Barkley who's gonna step on the field and be one of the best running backs in the league from day one. He is a freak. And the Browns' offensive line is pretty good. So it's not as good as the Cowboys was when they got Zeke. But it's not as bad that, you know, if the Colts or the Giants get him, you know, he's going to get hurt. It's just not going to work. The Browns are set up pretty well so that if they take him first overall, that gives you a running game. And you can build around a running game. Meanwhile, you also still have the fourth overall pick. There's going to be one of Darnold, Rosen, at least one of, or although mathematically, at least two of Rosen, Darnold, Allen, or Baker Mayfield there left for you at four. So you're still going to get a good quarterback. And if I'm the Browns, my fan base has not cared about me in years. I'm taking Saquon Barkley, not just because he's the best prospect, but he's something to be excited about, and then you're still going to get that quarterback. You're looking at a backfield for the next 10 years, theoretically, if all goes well, You know, you've got your battery. You've got something to be excited about. And if you don't take Barkley first overall, you run the risk of the Giants taking him.
Alex Kuhn, would you pursue love on a reality TV show if the price was right?
No. I can't imagine.
You could become set for life.
Excellent. No.
You could become set for life. You would be rich. You would be famous. You would be well known. You'd be a celebrity. And maybe, just maybe, at the end of things, you actually find your soulmate.
No. I don't want to live at any cost. Life. No cost. Don't want to live that life. That would be such a terrible twist to go down, a terrible rabbit hole to go down, to be known for all the wrong reasons and to go on into something where you know that it's destined to fail.
What if you go down in history as the best contestant ever on the show? That's not a bad thing.
I want video or cameras around me. Never. I don't want people in my house. I don't want people in my personal space videotaping every time I use the John.
This is a bad time to remind you that Channel 2 is going to be here next week.
Well, that's fine. I know when they're going to be here.
The brackets.
They'll be here for a couple of minutes, and then they'll be gone. They're not going to be in my house, in my personal space, where I eat, where I sleep. Ugh, no, it's a nightmare.
Of course. Especially if we're talking about The Price is Right, where I'm just... in this scenario, the price is right.
Come on down.
I'm getting a ton of money for this. And the thing about there is a lot of cameras. There's going to be a lot of eyes on you. But how long does that shooting process last? 3-4 months, maybe. I'm not really.
It's a long time.
You're going to live for like 70-80 years at least, probably. 3 months is really not that long. And at the end of it, you're rich. And like Todd said, maybe you actually found somebody you like. Probably not, but maybe. And the thing about, if you're a loser, then you're going to be a loser and everyone's going to see you be a loser. But if you're not a loser, then you're just going to be on camera as a nice guy. Everybody doesn't have to hate you. It doesn't have to go like that. And I feel like they probably kind of choose people who are going to be, not perfect, because that makes for the best television. But you don't have to be a loser. So, yeah, I'll go on. I'll have beautiful women swooning over me for while I make millions. Yeah, of course I'll do that.
I don't know if it's millions, but you can, billions. If you play it right, you can be set. You got TMZ following you everywhere.
That's awful. That sounds terrible.
I think I would trade worrying about money. I would trade that for all of the misery that comes with being rich and famous. If I didn't have to worry about money for the rest of my life, I think I would do it. It's easy to sit here and say that, of course, but what's one of the things that people just absolutely get torn up about? Money. Worry about money all the time. I worry about money all the time. What happens to me if I lose this job tomorrow? They say, hey, we didn't like the Jeff Moe thing. We didn't like the video game thing. Here's a box. Pack your belongings. Then I'm out of a job. I lose my house. I probably lose my wife and kid. Money. You give me an opportunity and you say you can be set for life, but you've got to put up with things like TMZ, and you've got to put up with things like a camera in your face. Okay, give me the contract.
Like the kids say, more money, more problems.
I'll sign it. But I never have to worry about being a celebrity. So I've got that going for me. I went to lunch today. I ran into somebody who recognized me. He told the bartender that there was a celebrity in the bar, and then I was very quickly humbled in old school fashion, as the Iron Sheik would say on Twitter. She humbled me old school way.
How'd that happen?
No clue who I was, no clue what the station was, no knowledge of the station or the show. Not that that bothered me, but it was more bothersome to me to have that brought to the server's attention in the first place, because I just want to go in. I want to eat my $6.50 burger and soda and enjoy my diet. Right.
Oh, I know where you went.
Cap tip to Steve Carter and the folks at Dr. Pepper down the hill. Can't get enough of my diet right nowadays. 6:27. We'll step aside, take a quick break. We come back. Kyle's going to have a big board update for you. And then we're going to chat with former Iowa State wide receiver Alan Lazard to close out a Thursday edition of the program. Back with more of the Todd Brundlecamp Show with Alex Kuhn after this.
Now at Menards, save big money on your next project with 11% off everything. Get a garage door you can trust and depend on from Ideal. They offer a variety of styles and features. Right now, all Ideal garage doors are 11% off. Get 11% off everything now at Menards. Good through March 10th. 11% savings are a mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
March Markdown Madness is going on now at Jungi Automotive Group. I'm Jason Jungi, inviting you to shop one of our three corridor locations for slam dunk savings this month. You can also get entered to win free gas for a year. Jungi offers you a wide selection of brands and competitive pricing on new and used vehicles, and our service centers always give you fast and affordable auto care done right. Visit one of our three Jungi Automotive Group locations today to find your next vehicle and enter to win our grand prize gas giveaway.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com presents the world's worst boss. The one who posts jobs on huge national job sites, looking for anyone with a pulse. We'll just call him Dave.
Underlings, I'm sensing some tension between us lately, so I'm proposing a peace offering.
A peace offering?
Yes, by this time tomorrow, you are all expected to give me a peace offering. Gifts, cash, compliments, whatever.
What do we get out of it?
You get to keep working here, if your peace offering is deemed worthy.
Don't work for a Dave. Find a boss you can respect. One who's looking for great and local talent at Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
Each week, KGYM recognizes a local sports team for the win in the community. The Metro Spotlight is brought to you by Carpenters Union, Local 308 in Cedar Rapids and Local 1260 in Iowa City.
6:29, welcome back in. I just continue watching this video of Clayton Kershaw throwing Shohei Ohtani a breaking ball over and over and over again, and all I can think of is opening day cannot get here soon enough. Speaking of opening day, I believe we're 30 days away from opening day for the Cedar Rapids Colonels, exactly a month away. But I would have to double and triple check my math on that, and I was under the impression there would be no math. Kyle has a Midwest One Bank Big Board update for you, Midwest One, where you're the one.
The Cyclones kept it close all night last night, but their season came to a close with a 68-64 loss to Texas in the first round of the Big 12 tournament. They actually led by one with about 6 minutes to go, but as was the story several times this season, didn't quite have the manpower to close it out down the stretch. Iowa State put up decent shooting numbers, led by Lindell Wigginton, who finished strong with 20 points and 8 rebounds, but as they say, that is all she wrote. We went through this yesterday already, so I won't spend as much time telling you it was a snub, but Megan Gustafson was named a second-team All-American again, this time by College Sports Madness. She led the nation in scoring and field goal percentage, was fifth in rebounding, second with 27 double-doubles, and was the only player to average over 25 points and 12 rebounds. 9 Hawkeye wrestlers are going to head to Cleveland for the NCAA Championships next week, and late yesterday it was announced that 6 of them had earned seeds, led by Brandon Sorensen as the number 2 at 149, Spencer Lee is the number 3 at 125, while Sam Stoll and Alex Marinelli are each 5 seeds. Michael Kemmerer is 6th at 157, Cash Wilkie 14th at 197, and you and I also had 5 wrestlers seeded. That tournament begins a week from today. We're finishing the show exclusively on 1600 AM, the historic main gym, because we've got Scott Unash on the call for Iowa City West taking on Waukee for a chance to play for the 4A state title. That game will tip off at 6:30. And earlier this afternoon, Xavier fell to Glenwood in the Class 3A semifinals, 69-63.
All right, we will see how things turn out for Iowa City West. In the meantime, we'll take a quick break. Kyle's going to get us connected with former Iowa State wide receiver Alan Lazard. We'll find out what he took away from the NFL Combine in Indianapolis last weekend. Back to put the finishing touches on a Thursday show after this.
I'm Jay Farner from Quicken Loans. The rate today on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 4.375%, APR 4.62%. But choosing the right mortgage lender involves so much more than just a rate. We've earned 12 J.D. Power Awards for client satisfaction. And we invented Rocket Mortgage, a simpler, hassle-free way to get a mortgage completely online. So choose Quicken Loans, America's number one online lender. Call 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Equal housing lender. NMLSconsumerAccess.org, number 3030.
My neighbors always ask me, "Hey Pete, how do you keep your yard so nice?"
Pete makes it simple with a Scotts Turf Builder feeding program. It's the best way to get the yard you want all year long, guaranteed. All it takes is four easy feedings. Just once in early spring, late spring, summer, and fall. Providing nutrition and weed control to keep your lawn lush and green.
So, now you know my secret.
This is a Scotts Yard. Pick up a Scotts Turf Builder program today.
A tree is a thing of beauty until it ends up on your house, car, or head.
Out! Out!
Unfortunately, all trees die, and when they do, they fall on your house, car, and head.
We need a medic!
That's where Frank's Tree Service comes in. They'll come look at your trees for free. Frank's Tree Service is a lot cheaper than a carpenter to fix the hole in your house, a body shop to fix your car, and a doctor to fix the hole in your head.
Start CPR.
Frank's Tree Service offers 24-hour emergency service or preventative care at 319-366-4747. That's
319-366-4747. Napa Know How!
Hey, I'm Chase Elliott, driver of the number 9 Napa Chevy. Here to tell you that when you spend $25 at Napa this month, you'll get a free number 9 Napa racing cap. So whether you're a fan of drivers with fast cars or just a fan of keeping the sun out of your eyes, you'll get a free number 9 racing cap just for spending $25 at Napa. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how!
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores, while supplies last. Offer expires 3/31/18.
My neighbors always ask me, hey Pete, how do you keep your yard so nice?
Pete makes it simple with a Scotts Turf Builder feeding program. It's the best way to get the yard you want all year long, guaranteed. All it takes is four easy feedings. Just once in early spring, late spring, summer, and fall. Providing nutrition and weed control to keep your lawn lush and green.
So, now you know my secret.
This is a Scotts Yard. Pick up a Scotts Turf Builder program today.
Welcome back in, 6:34, the Todd Bromwell Camp Show with Alex Kuhn coming your way right now on 1600 AM because of state boys basketball action on our FM frequencies. We actually would have been off the air right now had Iowa State beaten Texas last night in Kansas City at the Big 12 men's basketball tournament. That didn't happen, so basketball season is officially over, and it means a lot of Iowa State fans are probably turning their attention to spring football, which is right around the corner. And it's going to be an unusual sight this year because, well, our next guest isn't going to be on the field. He's leaving some big shoes to fill. Former Cyclone wide receiver Alan Lazard with us on the program, fresh off a trip to Indianapolis and the Combine over the weekend. Alan, thanks for taking the time to join us on the program. How was the experience in Indianapolis for you?
Well, thanks for having me. I really appreciate you making the time for me to come on your show today. But Indianapolis is a great experience. You know, obviously, you know, the elite of elite get invited to there, and to be able to go out there and compete was a huge honor, just because of, you know, looking to my left and right, you know, I'm seeing All-Americans and future first ballot Hall of Famers here in the near future. So just to be there was a huge honor, and I was glad I was able to make the most out of my opportunity.
What did you want to prove to scouts in your week in Indianapolis?
The biggest thing I wanted to prove is that, you know, I'm actually fast. A lot of the scouts and people really top my speed just because of how big and tall I am. You know, it looks like I'm not moving that fast because I have such long legs and strides, but, you know, I'm actually a lot faster than what a lot of people think, and that was my main objective going into last week.
You mentioned size, you mentioned speed. Those are all things that I think kind of go into this conversation about whether or not you'd be a good tight end at the NFL level. How often did that come up in Indianapolis with you?
It came up quite a few times. It originally originated in Mobile during the Senior Bowl. That's when a few coaches kind of started putting that bug in my ear. But some coaches started asking me about it and whatnot, and you know, like I said, I get the same answer every time. Just, you know, I'd just be happy to be part of their organization and to go out there and do whatever I can to help the team win.
And it's interesting because the tight end position has changed in the NFL very much over the past few years. And it used to be you hear the tight end, and you hear tight end as inline blocker, needs to be able to catch passes. But now you see guys like Evan Engram, guys like Jimmy Graham, who are almost strictly pass-catching tight ends. How does that change in the NFL make that position kind of even more intriguing for you?
Yeah, in today's football, you know, a tight end is probably one of the most versatile athletes there is, just because you have to be able to block, you know, guys like Jadeveon Clowney and Julius Peppers that are just freak athletes on the edge, and then also be able to go out and run routes versus safeties and linebackers as well. You know, they gotta know the offensive running schemes, who to block and whatnot, and also the passing schemes as well. So it's just right up there with the quarterback of knowing the entire playbook, because if they mess up, then it's going to hurt everyone. So it's definitely one of the harder positions to learn in football, and it takes a good athlete to play that position.
Former Cyclone standout Alan Lazard with us for a few minutes on the program tonight. How old were you when you first thought maybe playing in the NFL would be something that you could actually achieve, Alan?
If I'm honest, probably when I first started, when I was about 5 or 6, you know, I've always had high hopes for whatever I would do in life, whether it be football, basketball, baseball, track. You know, I've always just wanted to be the best at what I was doing. So, you know, it's always been a dream of mine to play at the professional level, and I'm just one step closer now.
Alan, take me through your senior year, because it had to be an unbelievable time for you. The first 3 years there, so many ups and downs, so many bits of adversity. Yet, did that final year and the Liberty Bowl victory kind of make it all?
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know, the way that we started off the year wasn't too hot those first 4 games, but then obviously once we got that Oklahoma win, we got the thing rolling. And like you said, it was just an unbelievable experience, you know, having the ups and downs of the first 3 years and the coaching changes and people leaving the team and whatnot. It was obviously very hard. And obviously, you know, it took a little bit of the love of the game away from you. But, you know, just be able to stick it out and to fight through the adversity with the guys that I've been fighting with the past 3-4 years was such a memorable experience, and it just made that much better of a senior year to kind of finish the way that we did.
You mentioned the coaching change. What were the last couple years like playing for Matt Campbell?
Unbelievable. You know, him and his staff, they're so tightly niched, and to be able to play underneath him was a true honor, just because of, you know, not only his football mindedness, but also, you know, just the personality that he has and the culture that he brought to Iowa State to help change it was just unbelievable. And he really helped, you know, me, you know, on and off the field, just be able to develop and to be the best person I could be.
Do you still stay in touch with Coach Rhodes?
Not really. I haven't talked to him in a while, but I'm sure I'll run into him sometime soon.
Now, Coach Campbell talks about the culture changers. That means you guys, the seniors of last year that stuck around through those ups and downs that we brought up. And I think that one of those examples is Joel Lanning, and he's going to go to the NFL just like you are. What kind of player and what kind of leader will an NFL team get in Joel?
I think you really can't ask for much more out of Joel, just because of all the things that he's done for Iowa State. You know, he came in, you know, he didn't get a start right away at quarterback, finally got his chance, and then kind of just got taken away from him, and then, you know, was willing to switch to a whole new position on the other side of the ball. So Joel's a person that will just do whatever it takes to win. He's a nitty-gritty person that will just get after it, and you're really not going to get much more of a harder worker than Joel Lanning.
Your name is all over Iowa State's record books. What does that mean to you?
It means everything. You know, I came into Iowa State and I wanted to make my mark. You know, I wanted to leave as the best Cyclone of all time, and that's how I wanted people to remember me, for someone that, you know, really helped change the program. And I think that, you know, that's something that I did, especially this last season of, you know, making my footprint here at Iowa State, and to be able to kind of just leave on a good note was something that was very memorable for me.
Now, Alan, I'm sure you've noticed this as now you're trying to boost your stock for the NFL draft, but there are a lot of draft analysts out there. There are a lot of people with opinions on where players' pros and cons and where they're going to end up. How difficult is it to kind of drown out the outside noise and just focus on the feedback that really matters for your future in the NFL?
Well, I mean, to be honest, I've had practice for that for the past 4 years. You know, going to Iowa State, teams always the reporters and other teams have always doubted us. You know, never gave us the benefit of the doubt at all. So I'm used to people, never pulling my weight at all. So it is what it is. What they want to say about me and what they think the order is, because there's 37,000 different ways that someone can get drafted or where they're going to end up at, and you really just don't know what's going to happen until draft day. So I just got to keep on, just make sure I focus on myself and just be happy for whatever organization, puts their trust in me and they'll show them that they didn't make a mistake.
You had a lot of big wins, a lot of big individual moments throughout your career at Iowa State. Is there one that stands out to you?
Liberty Bowl. Without a doubt, just because of everything that just capped off the senior year and on all the things that we've been through, and to kind of just leave Iowa State on a positive note was something very cool.
What did the coaching staff do, and when that transition you talk about? But how did things change so quickly for you guys? What were the keys to that?
The biggest key is that I think Coach Campbell installed discipline. On and off the field, one thing that he preaches a lot is that A players get A grades. So that means on the field and off the field as well. So if you want to be the best, you can't show up to practice and have a B or C average a day, and you can't show up in the classroom the same way. Another thing that he installed in us was our work ethic. Before my first 2 years, not many people sat around the Bergstrom building and watched extra film or caught extra passes and ran extra routes and whatnot. But now you can go up there any time of the day, and I'm almost 100% guarantee you that there's someone out there working on to perfect the craft. And I think that's what the biggest implement that he did to Iowa State to have lead us to success.
Iowa State obviously moving forward without you as part of the picture this spring. Who are some of those guys, your former teammates, that you think will step up and play leadership roles with you out of the picture now?
I think David Montgomery, especially, just the impact that he's had on me and then the rest of the team as well. He's definitely part of that culture-changing group as well. Hakeem Butler and, Kyle Kemp, those guys obviously have tremendous years this year alongside David. So I'm expecting big things out of those two guys. And I'm expecting a lot of the younger guys on the defensive side of the ball to come in and make a big impact. I think we have a lot of talent on that side of the ball. It's just that we were very senior heavy. So they kind of just had to sit on the back burner and whatnot.
All right, everybody, every player sort of approaches the draft differently. So do you have a plan yet? Are you going to watch it with your family? Or are you going to go fishing, do something to take your mind off it? What's your draft plan of action right now?
I don't have one exactly yet. What I would love to do is kind of a draft.
Alan, we appreciate you taking the time to join us tonight. It's been fun watching you in Ames over the last several years, and I think big things are in store for you in the NFL, whether it's as a receiver or as a tight end. Good luck. We'll be following along with you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
It's one of the best. He said it there. His goal was to be one of the best Cyclones ever, and goal accomplished. His name everywhere in the record book, Iowa State all-time leading receiver. Led Iowa State to a bowl victory, the Liberty Bowl, his final game, and now off to the NFL. And a great example of what goes on at the combine, because those guys get put into a meat grinder. And it's not people telling you how good you are. It's people questioning you. Things like, are you fast enough? Are you, are you this? Are you that? And the talk of moving to tight end. Can you play tight end instead of receiver? Would that be a better fit in the NFL? It's got to be tough on these guys. And yet, he goes with the flow, as do most of them, because if you want to play in the NFL, you play their game and you play by their rules. So you answer the questions, you go through the drills, you do the song and dance, and then you just cross your fingers and hope that you get the best result in the long run.
I think he helped himself too. I think he ran just over a 4.55 40, which for a receiver of his size is going to be just fine. So I think that with NFL teams, like you said, Todd, it's not about what you can do. It's about all of these scouts and draft analysts telling you what you can't do and your ability to prove that they're wrong. And I think that that's what the combine is for. For NFL teams, game tape is huge. But what the combine does is they want to know, does the game tape match up with the speed that we see during the combine? And it can be a useful tool. It can elevate prospects. It can take away value from prospects. And in this case, I think Alan Lazard did help himself. I think he's definitely going to be probably a day two draft pick.
You can hear it there also. And the interview that comes to mind was talking with A.J. Puck when he was at Florida before the Major League Baseball draft. You can hear the wheels spinning. Don't say anything that's going to be held against you. Don't say anything that an NFL team can overhear and not like. So it wasn't necessarily the most in-depth interview, but I completely understand. There's not a whole lot of personality on display there because you're laser focused at this point. And maybe after he gets drafted, he loosens up and gets a little bit more comfortable. But this is the time you're doing these media appearances and radio shows and talking to writers and whatnot. You're just trying not to do anything or say anything that's going to be held against you. And it's the NFL. They will search. They will find something. They will hold it against you. They always do. And I think, as you said, I think he helped himself in Indianapolis with his performance. And we'll see where he goes. I don't know whether he had a favorite NFL team growing up. I wasn't going to ask that question because I knew he wouldn't answer it. Because you don't want to alienate the other teams out there that were listening. And believe me, they will be listening. 6:50, we will step aside. We thank you for listening to us on 1600 AM tonight. Maybe you're listening on the stream at kgymradio.com because the FM frequencies currently have a high school basketball game on. Kyle's going to give you an update on said high school basketball game when we return. The finishing touches on a Thursday edition of the program are right around the corner.
When a player doesn't like a contract, what do?
They hold out?
They hold out for a better deal. If only you could do that with your wireless plan, right? Well, with the Bring Your Own Phone plan from Straight Talk Wireless, you can get a much better deal. Keep your phone, your number, even your same network for a lot less than you're paying now.
Without the contract.
Or the holdout.
Get the Ultimate Unlimited plan for just $55 a month on America's largest, most dependable 4G LTE networks. Straight Talk Wireless. Only at Walmart. Savings may vary. Video typically streams at DVD quality. Refer to the latest terms and conditions of service at straighttalk.com.
Napa Know How.
Hey, I'm Chase Elliott, driver of the number 9 Napa Chevy. Here to tell you that when you spend $25 at Napa this month, you'll get a free number 9 Napa racing cap. So whether you're a fan of drivers with fast cars or just a fan of keeping the sun out of your eyes, you'll get a free number 9 racing cap just for spending $25 at Napa. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know How.
Napa Know How.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Offer expires 3/31/18.
My neighbors always ask me, hey, Pete, how do you keep your yard so nice?
Pete makes it simple with a Scotts Turf Builder feeding program. It's the best way to get the yard you want all year long, guaranteed. All it takes is 4 easy feedings. Just once in early spring, late spring, summer, and fall. Providing nutrition and weed control to keep your lawn lush and green.
So, now you know my secret.
This is a Scotts yard. Pick up a Scotts Turf Builder program today.
I'm Jay Farner from Quicken Loans. The rate today on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 4.375%, APR 4.62%. But choosing the right mortgage lender involves so much more than just a rate. We've earned 12 J.D. Power Awards for client satisfaction. And we invented Rocket Mortgage, a simpler, hassle-free way to get a mortgage completely online. So choose Quicken Loans, America's number one online lender. Call 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Equal housing lender. NMLSconsumeraccess.org, number 3030.
Camp Show with Alex Kuhn finishing up on a Thursday night. Big thanks going out to Alan Lazard for joining us here in the third and final hour. We had plenty of Iowa State talk for you today as well. Alex Halstead of 24/7 Sports was with us in the first hour as we look back on Iowa State's season-ending loss at the men's basketball tournament in Kansas City last night to the Texas Longhorns. Iowa State now goes into off-season mode, although Randy Peterson of the Des Moines Register had a very excellent piece earlier today that basically said, have no fear, Lindell Wigginton, Cameron Lard, not going anywhere. Everybody's expected back. I take that with a grain of salt, not knowing anything. I just know that there were 700 plus 800 transfers last year. You never know what's going on with a college basketball program, but I think for the most part, Iowa State knows exactly what it has coming back next year. So does Iowa, and that's including two Gatorade Players of the Year. Pretty big news today. Joe Wieskamp, the Iowa Gatorade Player of the Year, and C.J. Frederick, the same honor in the state of Kentucky. Leads us to our poll question today at KGYMradio.com. If you haven't voted yet, which team do you feel will be best positioned to bounce back better in 2018, Iowa or Iowa State? A big thank you to Emil's Hideaway. They're on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's and next to the Home Depot. As the minutes continue to tick down towards 7 o'clock tonight, we've got to squeeze in one final Big Board update. Midwest One, the sponsor for the Big Board updates. Over 40 locations across the corridor for all your banking needs.
The Cyclones kept it close all night last night, but their season came to a close with a 68-64 loss to Texas in the first round of the Big 12 tournament. They actually led by one with about 6 minutes to go, but as was the story several times this season, just didn't quite have the manpower to close it out down the stretch. Iowa State put up decent shooting numbers, led by Lindell Wigginton, who finished strong with 20 points and 8 rebounds, but as they say, that is all she wrote. We went through this yesterday already, so I won't spend as much time telling you it's a snub, but Megan Gustafson was named a second team All-American again, this time by College Sports Madness. She led the nation in scoring and field goal percentage, was fifth in rebounding, second with 27 double-doubles, and was the only player to average over 25 points and 12 rebounds. Nine Hawkeye wrestlers are going to head to Cleveland for the NCAA Championships next week, and late yesterday it was announced that six of them had earned seeds, led by Brandon Sorensen as the number two at 149, Spencer Lee's the number three at 125, while Sam Stoll and Alex Marinelli are each five seeds, Michael Kemmerer is sixth at 157, and Cash Wilkie 14th at 197. UNI also had five wrestlers seeded. That tournament begins a week from today. We're finishing the show exclusively on 1600 AM, the historic main gym, because we've got Scott Unesh on the call for Iowa City West taking on Waukee for a chance to play for the 4A state title. At the end of the first quarter, Waukee led 12-11, and earlier this afternoon, Xavier fell to Glenwood in the Class 3A semifinals 69-63.
There's just no easy path for Iowa City West at the state tournament. They play some close, interesting games, especially in the opening round games. Coach Bergman and West High pretty happy that they have gotten to the point where they are right now, and plenty of time left in that game for the Trojans to get back to the state title game. West Des Moines Valley or Cedar Falls waiting on the other end of the bracket. That game will be played immediately after Iowa City West and Waukee tonight. So hopefully we have two championship broadcasts for you tomorrow here on KGYM Radio. We certainly know North Lynn will be playing for the 1A title. That game set to tip off around 2 o'clock from Wells Fargo Arena, which means we will be on our FM frequencies at about 1:45, joining Scott Unesh from Wells Fargo Arena for the pregame tomorrow. North Lynn, undefeated, number one seed in Class 1A, taking on Grandview Christian, which defeated Remsen St. Mary's to clear its path to the title game. North Lynn has played only one game this year where the clock was not continuous. So pretty impressive run by the Lynx. And then we move from high school basketball and tournament action to the other tournament action, the NCAA tournament. We will know the teams, the field, the seeds, everything Sunday night. And that's when we want you to go to KGYMradio.com and register your bracket with us. Someone's going to take home $500 from Imon Communications. It is winner take all, the KGYM Bracket Challenge. That'll do it for a Thursday edition of the program. Hey, join us tomorrow. We're going to be here in studio. Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com will be along. I know he's working on some pretty big guests for us from a basketball standpoint, but we've got another big basketball name with us at 5:30 tomorrow. The all-time leading scorer in Class 4A play in the state of Iowa, Muscatine's Joe Wieskamp. His season just came to a close at Wells Fargo Arena this week. Next stop, Iowa City and the Hawkeyes. He's with us tomorrow. I hope you are as well. Enjoy your Thursday night. Thanks for listening.